Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, my notes say to open to Romans chapter 10, but the Lord said to open to Romans chapter 8. So we'll get to Romans chapter 10 presently. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your spirit. Father, we thank you for this word which opens up to us the way of salvation. Father, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for in it, for it's the power of God, and the righteousness of God is revealed in it from faith to faith. So, Father, we ask you to reveal these things to us this morning by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Since there's a therefore, let's back up to verse 25, he says, of the previous chapter, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now he does say he keeps his flesh under also at another place. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Better translations is who are not led by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Now, verse 9 tells us that is not saying if you do, it's saying that's who you are. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be it that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So there's, if you are born again, if you are a Christian, the Bible says there is no condemnation. John chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus said this, he that believeth on him, on Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, what does it mean there's no condemnation? Well, the opposite of that is righteousness. It means we've been justified. The opposite of condemned is justified. So now let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. If a person is not justified, they're condemned. Once people pass the age of accountability in the world, there's only two kinds of people, the justified and the condemned. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. We ought to be praying that for Israel also. Israel's in a precarious situation. You know, they're having an election next week that will determine many things, including not just in Israel, but in the world. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's also saying there, Christ is the end of the law of Judaism. Christ is the end of the law of religion for righteousness, for everyone who believes. Religion seeks to earn righteousness. You know, Paul was on the road to Damascus, going to Damascus to arrest and imprison Christians. Why? He was earning righteousness. He thought by his right conduct. You know, you've all seen these two little boys, young men, elders, you know, these 18-year-old elders walking around everywhere, you know, from Utah. What are they doing? They're earning their righteousness, you see. Religion seeks to earn righteousness, but God gives righteousness, and He gives it as a free gift. Wayman's translation of Romans 10:1 says this, "For I bear witness that they possess an enthusiasm for God, but it is an unenlightened enthusiasm." I like that. It's an unenlightened enthusiasm. Well, where does light come from? From the Word of God. So they did not have the Word of God or recognize or receive the Word of God. Jesus said, you know, your traditions make the Word of God of no effect in their life. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," ignorant. There's no stronger word for ignorance in the Greek language than this word. In the Greek language, when you take a word and put the letter A in front of it, it becomes a negative participle, and it makes that word the exact opposite of it, 180 degrees. In other words, if you put A in front of rich, you're poverty stricken. If you put A in front of health, you're sick. Well, this is that word. This word, A, is put in front of have understanding. So it means they have zero understanding, no understanding. They have absolutely no knowledge of God's righteousness. And that is true of all religions, because all religions are seeking to earn righteousness. And if you got all of them doing the same thing, they couldn't earn righteousness for one of them, because righteousness cannot be earned. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 4. You know, we started out a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, talking about righteousness. But as we progressed, you know, my first lesson was entitled Righteousness. But since then, you know, my title has been Righteousness versus Religion. Now, that wasn't my original thought, but righteousness, actually it's religion versus righteousness. Righteousness is the exact opposite of what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to destroy religion. He came to undo religion. 2 Corinthians 11, 4 says, "This does not surprise us because even Satan changes himself to look like an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." What is that disguise? What disguise do they take when they disguise themselves as servants of righteousness? Well, that disguise is called religion. Amen. Religions tell you that you have to perform some act, carry out some ritual, complete some task in order to be righteous. That is because they are void of the knowledge of God's righteousness. Isn't that sad? The Bible says that they are deceived and deceiving others, and it says in the last days they will grow worse and worse. That's why it's so important that we understand the importance of righteousness, because in the depths of every religion, every practitioner is seeking right standing with God. Why is that? Well, you remember when Jesus, turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This, of course, is after Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained, which was how John knew that he was the Lamb of God, because you see, before that, the Holy Spirit would come and go. But the Holy Spirit came and remained with Jesus. And John said, the Lord said, God said to me, the one you see the Holy Spirit descend upon and remain is the Messiah. So Jesus went out into the wilderness, and for 40 days he fasted and was tempted of the devil, and he overcame every temptation. And then he returned to Galilee. And it says in Luke 4:18, after he came into the synagogue and he found the place that it was written of him in Isaiah chapter 61, and he began to read it. And he read this from Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There's a reason. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Do you know what the number one thing they were captive to was? Judaism, religion. Jesus came to set them free from Judaism, from condemnation, because in Judaism they were still condemned. Hebrews 2:14 says this, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's referring to us, to mankind, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. In other words, he became flesh and blood. That through death, through his death, he might destroy him who had the power of death. We're talking about spiritual death. That is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, religion holds people in bondage, that if you don't do what we say, you're going to go to hell. Come on. They are held in bondage by fear of death. What do you think makes these crazy Muslims act the way they do, going around killing people? Fear of death. Their fear that if they don't do that, they're going to go to hell. That's the truth.